When we were singing that last song, I was just praying. I've been on quite an adventure with the Lord, to be honest with you, the last few years, in terms of really pursuing Christ, really pursuing Christ. I mean, I've been walking with him for 41 years, but the last few years, I wrote a series called The Unsearchable Riches of Christ, because he's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I thought it's all right. I don't know. I could just read it out to you, because I didn't warn the AV guys. But just while we were worshiping, I came back to something that I've been reading quite a lot, and even publicly a couple of times in this last 2 weeks. It's my favorite hymn about Christ in all the Bible. Paul either he wrote it or it was just a common hymn in the early church. We don't know. But it is Colossians 1. And I'm just going to read 3 verses, but the whole hymn is 15 to 20. Everything I talk about today, I'd like us to understand he's bigger than we ever thought. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. I love that. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. They always hold together. I've been doing some studying on the incarnation and even going back to early church fathers. And he holds all creation together. God the Son came to earth as God the Son. He didn't come as a representative of God. He came as God. So just the implications of this are huge. I'm not going to teach on the incarnation today, but just this. I've been thinking about it so much lately. This is how big he is. When we read in our Bibles about him healing the blind man, or healing the leper, his interactions with people like Zacchaeus and the woman at the well. While he was doing all that, while he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, at the very same moment, he was holding the cosmos together. Isn't that amazing? Folks, he is bigger than I ever thought, probably most of us. It's incredible. So I want to talk about healing, but in the context of who he is. Because who he is why people got healed the other day. Why the Muslim man is probably still doing this today. Who he is why. I was thinking about this morning, too. Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. You read it in all 4 Gospels. And Jesus comes in on a donkey or a colt. And the people are going, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, which means God save. And it's a big deal. But there's a few things in here I'd like us to understand that Israel was expecting a political king, was expecting someone to come with such authority and power, he'd kick out those lousy Romans. That was the expectation. Jesus often comes to us in unexpected ways and disguises. I'll just tell you that right now. And he comes to us a lot more than we realize. So in he comes, and he comes in on a colt, and we just have read that every year, and usually we get the little kids with the palms and so forth. Let me just point out a couple of things. Number one, the gate that he came down through was the back door. He didn't come through the front door of the city. And in the coming through the front door of the city, the Romans would come, the commander always on the biggest, whitest horse. And he came in it, and it reflected his power. Jesus was making a statement. When he came in on a little donkey, his feet were probably dragging, and he came in the back door. I believe with all my heart that Jesus, not just at the cross, was self-emptying, but and that's, you guys know about that in Philippians 2, 5 to 11, and he emptied himself. The word is kenosis. God's love is about self-emptying. It's about taking the low place. And it's a surprise. They did not expect that. And the chief priests were indignant. Remember when the people are crying out, especially the children, and they come out of the temple and they say, get them to stop. Hosanna, Messiah is here. Get them to... They're interrupting a prayer meeting that went on for about 150 years, they think, that was continually going on in the temple. The focus of the prayer meeting was, oh God, send the Messiah, send the Messiah. Following Jesus is full of surprises. So he comes right by the temple. The temple was incredibly important, and frankly, just look at the political situation in Jerusalem, it's still very important to them. And it's not just because of the architecture, and it's not just because it was a place to worship God. They believed, the Jews believed, that from the time that the ark went in there, all the way back in Solomon's day, that the temple was the intersection point between heaven and earth. All right? It's the point, it's the space where God inhabits. And it's where heaven overlaps earth. Special and holy space. So what does Jesus do? He messes with them. You can read it again and again through the Gospels. He says, destroy this temple and I'll build it again in 3 days. They love that. He said in Matthew 12, 6, listen, I'll tell you, something greater than the temple is here. In the new reality of the kingdom, Jesus himself and wherever he is, that is the place of intersection where heaven overlaps earth. And he's the new temple and he's the Lord over space. So he messed with them on the temple. What's the other thing he messed with them on all the time? The Sabbath. Yeah. The Sabbath. See, Sabbath was so, so, so important to them. It was not just a time of rest, not just even a time of relying on God more than our own efforts. But for the Jews, the Sabbath points to the ultimate fulfillment of God's great plan, the restoration of all things. The Sabbath is about fulfillment, completion. They have a wonderful word, shalom, which means more than peace. It's this fulfillment, this restoration. That's what the Sabbath is about. It's a special time. It's God's time. As the temple is his place, the Sabbath is his time. It's interesting, Jesus' first recorded words, which is in Mark, which is probably the first gospel, his first words are, the time is fulfilled. I tell you, that phrase is loaded with meaning. Again and again, what do you see Jesus doing on the Sabbath? What's he doing? Healing. It's like he waits all week just to drive them crazy. He's healing on the Sabbath all the time. The man with the withered hand, the blind, the paralytic. He's saying the time that you have been waiting for, crying out for, is here right now. He's saying, I am the Sabbath. I am all of that special time, that fulfillment, that restoration. He said in Matthew 12:8, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Even more clearly, Mark 2:27, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus wasn't just trying to criticize the religiousness of Sabbath keeping. He wasn't doing that. He was declaring not only a whole new space, but a whole new time. He brought a new time and a new space. The kingdom of God has come. Heaven, you understand, is an ultimate reality. It isn't a place. It isn't, you know, just to the right of Venus. It is the ultimate reality. I shared with you guys, I think last year, that the literal translation for the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of the heavens, meaning that realm, that ultimate reality where God dwells and breaks in and breaks in and breaks in. Heaven breaks in, and time and space and matter itself changes. I've been thinking a lot about this, reading about this. The physical laws are under the dominion of the King. He holds all things together. All things are made not only by him, but for him, right? We read that at the beginning. There's so many clues to this. When matter changes, for example, he's got a new kind of body all the way through after the resurrection, before the ascension. We keep seeing, whether it's Mary, whether it's the women gathered, whether it's the disciples, whether it's the two guys on the road to Emmaus, they're looking. I think it's him, but it's probably not him, but it might be him, but yes, and I'm not sure. That seems to tell me this new body is similar but different. And it has different properties. Remember, he just went right through the wall and showed up. Said, anybody got any fish? Jesus alters how the physical laws change. Not always, but at any given minute, heaven breaks in. At a word from him, fish jump into nets. At a word from him, food is multiplied. I've watched food being multiplied. Have any of you? Maybe some of you have too. It's amazing. It's incredible. You look at it and you're trying to figure it out, but it just happened. And how did it happen? And I've watched it happen in Canada, where we numbered the portions for the 72 people that were coming to this special event, except that somebody got mixed up and thought it was an open community dinner, and they came flooding in and flooding in. And I had portions, counted portions for 72, and they kept coming and coming and coming. And as the man of faith and power that I am, I said, honey, what are we going to do? Should I go to the store and buy some more food? And she said, let's just see what happens. I don't know that you were thinking that. And they came and they came and they came, and we set up more and more tables and more and more tables, and then finally our 72 people followed them and ate, and we came at the end. There, I remember, was a big bowl of fruit salad, and there were these barbecued buns, 72 of them. And we got to the end, and Christina and I got the last ones. Now, isn't that interesting? But I've watched them. I watched them do it in a dump in Manila, where we were told that there were 500 children we needed to feed. So we had 500 lunches in these styrofoam boxes. That was a great plan, except 850 kids showed up. And we thought, well, all we can do is just give out what we got. And you know the story. The last kid got the last box. I was telling a story just the other day up in the Central Coast. A couple of people were there. I don't know where Lynn is, but she was with me when it happened. That we had done a clinic for hundreds of people in Kenya or Uganda? In Uganda. Hundreds of people. hundreds and hundreds of people. And we got to the end, and we wanted to give out anti-parasite to the people outside. These anti-parasite pills are really important because they allow the body to absorb nutrients for about 6 months. So we went out with our 70 pills, and the problem was there were 460 people. And, you know, I was so tempted to just kind of just put them in my pocket because I didn't want to riot and say, well, God bless you. Let me just pray a blessing on you. But we thought, well, let's just give them out till they're gone. And he did it again. 460 people, the last person got the last pill. Why is that? That's because he is Lord over space and over time and even over matter. The very physics change. Water, wine, water becomes wine. The Sea of Galilee becomes solid. Jesus is the place and the time where heaven intersects with earth. He is bringing the new creation, right? But now we come to what Paul said to the church. He's saying, don't think naturally. Don't limit yourself with physical laws because you're part of something completely new. And in 2 Corinthians 5:18, he says you're part of something that he called a new creation. And he says you're part of it now. He didn't say one day when you die, the great by and by, you'll be part of the new creation. Folks, everything's changed, and you're part of it. That's why he said 164 times, you're in Christ. You're in Christ, this one who changes the very properties of matter, who's the Lord over time, who's the Lord over space. I could tell more stories. I almost told you a time story. We saw God do something with time. I don't know whether he stretched it or compressed it. All I know is we ended up at an airport, and we had no business being able to be there. By 2 hours, we're just there. How big is Christ? Is he for all things? Did he create all things? Is all creation for him? Is he in all things? Say all things.
All.
Is it soon or is it now?
Now?
It's now. Heaven has overlapped earth. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things, the old way, the old perceptions have passed away. Look, new things have come. So what is true for Christ is true for us. Why do I know that? Well, for example, he says, as the Father sent me, in the very same way I'm sending you, John 20:21. It's about relationship. He says in John 14:20, he says, I'm in the Father, you're in me, I'm in you. There's this interconnectedness that does not separate us from his activity and who he is and what he does. We're in Christ. We are the new creation. Jesus is the new temple. I told you that. He's the intersection of heaven and earth. 2 Corinthians, when somebody started to read out 2 Corinthians, I said, are they going to read 6:16? But they didn't. It would have been almost cosmic if they had. 2 Corinthians 6:16, he says, you are the temple of the living God. And we thought that just meant don't smoke and, you know, don't do bad things with your body. See how small we can make the gospel? If we just think two-dimensionally, you are a new creation. And now, if he's saying, I'm Lord over space, this is where heaven and earth interact, he turns and says, oh, and by the way, you are the temple. You carry that overlap. Hello? You guys tracking with me? This gospel is very big, folks. It's very big. We are now God's temple. We are the holy space. We are the divine time that intersects with earth. This, folks, is what we are about. This is the journey that we're called to. It's not a journey of be nice, go to heaven. It's a journey of stepping into a new creation. And all I know is the more I begin to see it, the more that happens. Again and again and again, the New Testament says, lift up your eyes and see. The word see is perceive. 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 Don't you know? He says, the Galatians, he says, oy vey. That's in the Jewish version. He says, don't you get it? You started in the spirit. You started multidimensionally. You started to go down this track of understanding. You're where heaven overlaps with earth. You're the time when you show up someplace, you change the possibilities. Do you understand that? When you show up somewhere, you change the possibilities. Think about that. Why? Because you're good? Because you had a good quiet time this week? Because you went to church? All those things are nice to do and good to do, but they're not the deep truth. The deep truth is you're in Christ, and Christ is the one who is Lord over time and space and matter. And he says, come on, you're with me. You're with me. It's a big gospel. This is the journey, the adventure of following him. This is why we change the possibilities. This is the new creation. And the new creation is renewed and yet is still renewing. This is the why and the how of healing the sick. You see, last year I talked to you about some healing models. I talked to you about running into the darkness. I talked to you about our call to make the exchange beauty for ashes. Anybody with a superb memory might remember that. But this year I wanted to take you deeper. This is the why. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You in Christ. Temple, Sabbath, matter. Some new things to think about, yes?